I preached this message. In Lewiston I did, but I've preached this message here before on Mother's Day. And it was called Girl Power, Feminine Pride, and Daddy's Girls. And we talked about that and just really built up the ladies and talked about some several important things for the ladies. And we want to do a similar thing for the guys, but I didn't think the title would ring well with guys, like Boy Power. It just doesn't sound good, does it? Boy Power. Ugh. No. So Girl Power's cool, but Boy Power, not so much. Yeah. And the next one, Feminine Pride. Male Pride, we don't need to pump that up anymore, do we, guys? Ladies, you do not need us me to preach a sermon on encouraging more male pride, do we? No, no, no. No, no, no. Humility, maybe. And then Daddy's Boys, it just doesn't do a lot for you, huh? So today we titled it Men Wanted. Men Wanted. So men are wanted. Guys, do you know how popular you are? And ladies, you listen in, because you need to be the ladies that let the guys know some of this stuff and remind them of some of this stuff. Maybe there's some gentlemen in your life or some young boys or young men in your life that you can encourage along these pathways that we're going to talk about today. Guys, you're popular. You're wanted. Not just for your dashing good looks and your muscles and your bank account. Because most of us don't have any three of those, right? But there's stuff inside of you, and God made you in some amazing ways that I hope you know you're valuable, you're wanted, you're needed. And Father's Day is a day to celebrate fathers for sure, but it's also, I think, a day to celebrate just manhood in general. Manhood in general. So I don't like to leave anybody out on those Father's and Mother's Day. Our power is something that people want us for, not just to open jars either. How many of you guys said, could you open this jar for me? Anybody? Anybody ever had anybody ask you that question as a guy? Yeah, I know. We're more valuable than just a jar opener. But that's, they like our power, but it's not just the power to open jars. It's the power that we possess to accomplish things and do things and stand up for things and overcome things. That kind of power. Sometimes it's our courage. So there's some guys that just don't know quit. They don't know how to stop. They're just courageous. You challenge their manhood, and they're all about that, right? I mean, you can say, come on, I want you to do this. Come on, come on. Come on, you little wussy guy. You can't do the matter. You little wimp. Oh, yeah. You know, we could just get all, that's that pride thing again. I know, that's why we're not talking about pride. Let's talk about courage instead. Let's talk about courage, courageous. So that's a big thing also that people, perseverance is something that people like us for. There's a, guys just sometimes just know how to persevere. Sometimes we're slow to get started. I thought the ladies would say amen on that one, but you girls are being so nice today. Thank you. Sometimes we're slow to get started, but once you get us started, man, we know what that perseverance thing is. In 1914, on the eve of World War II, a British explorer named Ernest Shackleton embarked on an expedition to cross Antarctica on foot. 1914. That was a couple days ago, right? A couple days ago. This ad was placed in the newspaper, and 28 men, probably more than that, but he selected 28 men who answered this ad. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness. There was 4 months of darkness between May, June, July, August, May, and September. Between May and September, 4 months of darkness down there. Safe return, doubtful. You will be in constant danger. Honor and recognition in case of success. Like, who would answer that ad? A man would answer that ad. A man would. Come on, somebody. I thought, that sounds a lot like my job description right there. Hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness. When your pastor has long months of complete darkness, you know you're in trouble, right? Constant danger and safe return doubtful, but there is honor and recognition in case you succeed. Listen to this quote by John Eldridge in Wild at Heart. Deep in his heart, every man longs for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. Right there's the heart of a man all wrapped up into three things. A battle to fight, an adventure to live. You put us in a cubicle and we will die. Now, I could survive in a cubicle for a while if I had a vending machine close by. With some man food in it. Do they have corn dogs and vending machines? Anyway. An adventure to live and a beauty to rescue. We love rescuing our ladies, our children. We love that. We're all over that. Timothy was told by Paul, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. Now, us guys, we can rise up. We can rise up. You sing some of these little fluffy songs that you hear in churches, you know, guys are going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. La, 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 la. But you sing some of these war songs, fighting a good fight song, and we're all over that. Give me some songs with that big old bass drum beat, Johnny, and let's get the war sound going, and let's start a Jericho march and tear some walls down. You know what I mean? Some of you guys don't know what a Jericho march is. You ask me after church, I'll let you know. As a guy, sometimes I get tired of fighting battles that I'm losing. That is demoralizing. It is so demoralizing to not win. Anybody here competitive? Are any of you guys competitive? Yeah? Yeah? Do you like to win? Does your children cry because you win? It's like, sometimes. I wanted Park Place. Sometimes us guys don't know when to quit, do we? We're just in win mode. And if we're losing, how demoralizing is that? You know what a good fight is? A good fight is a fight that you win. If you lose now, that's a bad fight. And Paul said, fight the good fight. There is a fight you're supposed to win. There are lots of fights you're supposed to win. And God has equipped you, and God has gifted you, and God has given you strength and passion and courage and perseverance and competitiveness so that you can win those good fights. Sometimes as a man, I feel like saying, God, could you give me a better fight than what I've been fighting? I'm tired of fighting for things that don't matter that much. I'm tired of spending a ton of energy and all of my kung fu skills on things that don't matter that much. I saved a whale. Woo! Whales are cool. They used to kill them for fuel oil all the time, you know. I get tired of fights in the church world that are penny-ante, puny, insignificant, and don't amount to a hill of beans. And yet we got to spend so much energy and nonsense fighting those fights. God, could you please give me a fight worthy of a man? You know, in your homes, sometimes you are fighting battles that are silly. They're stupid. They're not worth your skill, your passion. Guys, sometimes we get so passionate about the most insignificant things. And I look around in my home sometimes, and I look around at my marriage, and I look around at my parenting, and I say, God, could you help me fight the fights that really matter, and the fights that are good fights, and the fights that I can win? If Kari and I are going to go at it, could it be something valuable enough to clash swords over? Instead of some of the silly stuff we tend to clash swords over. And you don't want to clash swords with my wife. She was number 6 in the nation in the Junior Olympics in fencing. And she didn't have a post hole digger. She had a sword. She could slice and dice you. You got to be careful with that girl. You think she's sweet and nice. Ladies, would you help us men fight battles that are worthy of our attention, of our strength, of our passion? And help us not get so distracted on the things that aren't worth our time and our energy and our effort to fight over. God, could you give us better fights to fight? Maybe that's a prayer we should say to God. God, could you give me a better fight? A fight that really matters. A fight that when it's won, it'll make a huge difference in people's lives. A huge difference in my generation. Could you give me that fight? You know, and if you have those kind of missions and those kind of fights inside of you, this other stuff's small potatoes, right? Lord, help me know what's small and what's big. Give me the wisdom to fight the good fight and fight the big fight. Sometimes God's looking for a man and he doesn't find one. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Now that's a bummer. That's a bad day. That's a sad day when God said, I'm looking on the planet for a man who will build something for me, who will stand in the gap for me so that I won't destroy that generation, that people, that stuff that's going on. And he said, I couldn't find one. I couldn't find one. When I read verses like that, I'm just saying, oh God, I pray that doesn't happen today. I pray that if there's only one man on the planet that volunteers and enlists and signs up, I want to be that guy. If you're looking for a man, here I am. Send me. I want to be like Isaiah when he said, Lord, here am I. Go ahead and send me. Send me. I'll go. You want somebody to build something? I'll build something. You want somebody to win a fight? I'll go win a fight, God. You want somebody to challenge the enemy and keep him from destroying? I'm up for that. Let's go do that. Let's go do that. Now that's worth living for. And that's worth dying for. I kind of think as a man, if it isn't worth dying for, it's not worth living for. I'd die for my wife. I'd die for my kids. And I'll live for them. I'd die for my Jesus. I'd die for most of you. I'm not saying which ones now. But if it's not worth the dying for, I love the Dallas Cowboys, but I would not die for them. And I really want Miami Heat to win the NBA Finals, but I will not die for them. And I would love to kill a number one class, first in the state of Idaho trophy buck. But I will not die for that. If it wanders through my yard, I'm good. like my turkey this year, right? Come on, Jesus. God knows that you are strong enough. He knows you are skilled enough. He knows that you're bad enough, and I mean that in the best way. You're bad enough. He's just wondering if you're committed enough. And sometimes it's not just commitment. I think God is wondering, are you aware enough? Because I know that when I've been unaware, I've been disengaged. But as soon as I become aware, I'm ready to engage that thing. I'm ready to fight that fight. I'm ready to win that battle. And sometimes as men, we're just unaware. Ladies, you missed another great chance to say amen right there. But you're so nice today. Thank you. Sometimes as guys, we're just unaware. And God would say, would you let me show you some things that I want you to fight for? Some things that I want you to do for me. And that men wanted ad is pretty similar when God's calling you, isn't it? It's like hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of darkness, complete danger, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition case of success. But it's not really what happens when God calls you. God says, when I call you, I'm going to equip you, and I'm going to supply you. I'm going to give you my grace to empower you. I'm going to give you the wisdom and the insight that you need. The cool thing is when God asks you to do something, he already has the end figured out. I love that. I love that. When I watch a movie, I'm surprised almost every time at the ending. Kari, in the first 5 minutes, she figures it out. She goes, I know what's going to happen. Go shut up. In about 5 minutes, I go on, what do you think's going to happen? She tells me, I go, no way. No, you're totally wrong this time. Nope, she's right. It happens. And I go, I would hate to have your life. You don't enjoy anything. You figure it out right off the bat. And you don't get to enjoy it. She goes, no, I like to see how they're going to work it out, but I already know what's going to happen. And I'm thinking, God's like Kari. Or maybe Kari's like God. I don't know how that works out. But God already knows how it's going to turn out and know how it's going to happen. He's just looking for a few good men, kind of like the Marines, right? Just looking for a few good men who go do that. Look at what happens when God finds a man. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. The king's having problems. The nation's having problems. They're looking for a man. And one of his servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. He is skillful in playing, not just playing, but in music, mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. There you go. And the Lord is with him. I have found me a man. I've been looking for a man, and I found a man. What does the Bible say about David? He's a man after God's own heart. And God says, this is the kind of guy I love. This is the kind of guy I get excited about. This is the kind of guy I want other guys to be like. I want that. So I wanted us to look at those six characteristics that I found a man. Ladies, if you're shopping, this might be a good shopping list for you. If you're shopping. Number one, skillful. Was David perfect? No. Well, I thought the man after God's own heart had to be perfect. Hey, gentlemen, relax. You do not have to be perfect. David committed adultery. That doesn't mean, guys, you can go do that. Do not commit adultery. Pastor said so. Have sex with your own wife. That's it. And if you're not married, wait. Get you a wife. Then you can get you something else. Just say no to adultery. But then David did more than that. He committed murder. The guy rebelled against God 3 or 4 times. 3 or 4 times. But he was quick to repent. And his heart, when he was separated from God, his heart was broken. There's times that sin will grab you. It'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Anybody ever experienced that? Sin will grab you. But what God loves is a heart that when it's separated from God, it's broken. And then Psalm 51 is like the amazing psalm, isn't it? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's just a great repentant psalm. So David wasn't perfect, but he perfected some things. Guys, you're not perfect, but I challenge you to be skillful and perfect some things in your life. You really need to develop the natural skills and tendencies that God has given you, the passions, creativity. Develop those and be skillful at that. You'll never be perfect, but be perfect at some things. Be amazing at some things. Second thing, a mighty man of valor. This guy was strong and brave. This is a guy you can count on. This is a guy who's up for the challenge. This is a guy who can make it happen. He's strong and brave. Be that kind of a guy. That's a great characteristic. The third one, he's a man of war. He knows how and is willing to fight and win. Now, David was not a man of war. He had never been in a war. He was 16 years old. But there was something about him that said, this guy's a man of war. This guy, I heard rumors, he's killed a lion and a bear. The dude's pretty good with a slingshot. He's going to be a man of war. What kind of skills are you in Call of Duty? I'm at level 492. He's a man of war. Are there 492 levels? No? There should be. Young men, I hope you're developing stuff right now. The people are looking at you and going, this guy's got a bright future. This guy's a man of war. This guy's going to get it done. This guy's courageous. He's strong. He can play a harp too, but he's strong. He's good. Prudent in speech. Wow, how's your speech, gentlemen? How's your words go? How are those things working out? I was listening to Dave Menton the other day on Code Blue, a new series that I got from him, and he's talking about your words. And he said, men, why are you poisoning the well you want to drink out of? You want to drink out of this well called your wife. And you want to drink out of these wells called your children. You want good things out of that. You want great relationships out of that. Why are you poisoning the well with your words? Why are you fighting stupid, insignificant battles with your words when you want to drink life from those wells? I've probably said enough brash things, but it's man day, right? Do not pee in your own well. You should always pee downstream, if you know what I'm talking about. We'll just let you work out the application. Come on, guys, use your speech prudently. Use your speech wisely. Create great stuff with your words. Wise stuff with your words. Build people up with your words. Never give people back harsh and negative words. Well, they deserved it. They said, no, come on. Be more prudent with your speech than that. A soft answer turns away wrath. Use your speech to build. Use your speech to create peace. Use your speech to win important battles. Use your speech to do that kind of stuff. Mentally tough, intelligent, and wise speech. Handsome. Man, this is a guy that combs his hair. Hallelujah. This is a handsome guy. This is a guy that he works out. You can see his definition, you know. This is a guy that he's tall, dark, and handsome, whatever that means, you know. Short, white, and handsome. I don't know. It's not just talking about your chiseled jaw. It's not just talking about your six-pack abs. It's talking about when people look at you, they see something attractive. And it's usually not external. It's usually not external. I remember my pastor up in Pierce. He said, I feel sorry for the girls in Pierce. Look at all these guys, all these shaggy beards. They're wearing these old hickory shirts with tears in them. They got the old beer belly hanging out. And that's all the girls had to choose from, you know. Snooze dripping off their old scraggly beard. He said, I feel sorry for the girls up here. Down here in the valley, we got some handsome boys. Yeah, we do. You should be a man that's so attractive. That's when people look at you, they go, now there's a man. There's just something about him. I just feel good being around him, this handsome guy. The last one, maybe it's the most important one, God's with him. God is with him. I hope people look at you and they say, God's with him. He's with God. I see God in him. I see strength in him. I see favor on his life. I see blessings. Goodness and mercy are chasing him down and tackling him, you know. It's like in the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is it evident that God's with you? Is that blessing and favor just all around you? Girls, this is a great list if you're looking for a guy. This is a great list right here. David could protect sheep, sing songs, kill giants, remain loyal to his leaders, build an amazing nation, and build an amazing family all at the same time. This guy could multitask. He could do it all. God found himself a man. He did. But you know what? I think there's some Davids in our generation. God's looking for a man, and I think there's some men in our generation. I think there's some Davids in this room. I think there's men in this room that can rise to that cause and answer that call and has these characteristics in their life. If you're missing one of those six, work on that. Work on that. Say, God, I need to work on my speech. I say stupid stuff. Work on that. Lord, I need to live a life where people go, now, God's with that guy. There's favor on him. I need to figure out how to do that. I need to do something where people go, now there's a man of war. That guy can win a battle. If there's anybody that I want on my side, it's him. I want to be that kind of a guy. If you don't have some of that, work on it. Figure it out. So God found himself a man. He's looking for a man today. There is as much at stake today as there was in David's day. And I don't think everybody knows that or realizes that. See, we're not just living a Christian life looking historically back at things God used to do. We are today living in the kingdom of God, in our generation, on the same planet, hundreds and thousands of years later than some of these guys, and it's our turn now. There's giants that need to be killed now. There's battles that need to be won now. There's integrity that the world needs to see and experience right now. And he wants you and I to be men that'll rise up and do that. There is as much at stake today in our generation as there was in David's day. It's our turn. God's looking for a man. Men wanted. Just raise your hand and say, God, here, I'm the man. I'm the man. You the man. Thank you both for raising your hand. two more thoughts. What time is it? Ooh, I better. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Be watchful. Remember what I said? Sometimes guys are unaware. This verse says, hey, guys, lift your head up a little bit. If we're not careful, we just lower our head at age 18, get us a job, and work to pay the bills, and hope that we have a little fun occasionally on a vacation, whatever that is. I've heard about them, you know. Us guys are going to heard about those vacations. I think they're pretty cool. Heard they're expensive, though. And we just lower our head and work. And God says, be watchful, gentlemen. Lift your head up. There's some battles to fight, and I'm looking for a man. Will you engage those for me? Or are you just going to live the human life? I don't know if you guys have heard this or not, but you are not a human being having a temporary spiritual experience. You guys ever heard this before? You're a spiritual being having a temporary human experience. Come on, gentlemen. It's not about this human life. Be an amazing father. Be an amazing man. And let's go do something amazing in our generation. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. I don't know how much trouble I should get myself into today, but the world would like to neuter you. And they would prefer to neuter you around age 12 when your voice is still high, so that you never develop your own voice. And you never grow into your manhood. Don't let the world demand you. Ladies, do not cooperate with the world and demasculinize. What's that word? And neutering your man. You need some of those parts. I better hurry and fill in the blanks. And you need the strength. You need the ability to win battles. Have you ever had a dog or cat that you did that to? You just took all the fight out of them. You just wimped them out. Oh, they're a lot better now. They behave. Is that what you want? Do you want men that are nicer and just behave? Some of you ladies are going, yeah, that would be cool. No, you don't. Do you want men that are men? Back in the olden days where men were men and women were glad they were. I was supposed to hurry, huh? Be strong, act like a man. Let all that you do be done in love. Gentlemen, I'm talking to you about being strong. I'm talking about you winning battles. I'm talking to you about overcoming. But your highest motivation always has to be love. It always has to be love. Not just a fighting spirit, not angry. Love has to be your big motivation. Not passivity. We've talked enough about that. Don't do it alone. Do not try to be a man by yourself. Do not do that. Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. If we're not careful, we think the Lone Ranger is what we're all supposed to be. But even he had his Tonto. Johnny Depp was a pretty cool Tonto, in case you haven't seen the movie. Who's your Tonto? Who's your sidekick? See, God doesn't just even want a Lone Ranger and a Tonto. He wants a group of men. He wants this, I think it's called an army. God wants an army. Gentlemen, don't try to live life alone. Don't try to isolate and do that. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You need some men to sharpen you, to help you. Yeah, the sparks will fly some days. That's okay. You can't sharpen iron without sparks flying or without grinding some stuff down. You just can't do it. Men, we need each other. We can't be our best when we're alone. God wants and needs some men, and you're one of those. You were born for this. Men wanted, men needed. And here's what I think. I think you guys are just the right men with just the right stuff. Let's go do this thing. Let's have great families. Let's be great husbands. Let's be the best business owners. Let's be the best employees. Let's be the best fathers the world has ever seen. Let's go do this. Amen? Amen. Father, help us today. We're honoring men. We're challenging men. We're talking about man things. Help us, Lord. We want to rise to the challenge. We want to be who you called us to be. God, we want these men courageous and strong with their head held high, fulfilling their destiny. God, we want their wives happy and their children happy and content and fulfilled. God, we want these men happy and strong inside. Lord, we pray you'd help us with all of that. And then, God, we've got a world to change. We've got a generation to impact. You're looking for men. And God, I think you just found a church full of them. We're ready to go. Show us. Make us aware. Give us better battles to fight. Better adventures to live. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Usher.